What's up, everybody? The Friday Night Gamecast boys are back with a Patreon-exclusive episode in yet another brand new series that I am so excited to bring you all called Did You Hate It? This new series is going to be where Will and I are going to pick a game where it's going to be essentially a 50-50 shot on whether or not we're going to suffer through playing the game or actually end up really, really liking it. And we're going to go ahead and play it and then report our findings back to you, dear listener. So let's go ahead and jump into this episode. And this is going to be, without further ado, Will, did you hate Mario Odyssey?
I tell you, I hated how much I love this game. This game was sick. Game was fantastic. 5 stars, 10 stars, whatever it takes, all around. 10 power moons to this game, 100%.
10 power moons.
So I don't know. I love my some Mario. My favorite one was still Super Mario World. So, you had to kind of go back for me to find my favorite one. So the ones after were fine, but nothing was really tickling my fancy like that. People said Odyssey was fantastic. I thought, how fantastic could it be? You know, it came out in 2017. And so many great games, as we've come to realize, thinking back to it, came out in 2017 that were incredible. So I'm like, oh, I wonder, did it just get overshadowed? Was it really that good? Did people hype it up? It got overshadowed. This game deserves all the hype. It deserves all the praise. It is a fantastic outing for Mario and his team. So
yeah, absolutely. Awesome. I think definitely Breath of the Wild, unfortunately, made such a big splash for the kind of game that it was, and that people still were adamant. I remember the conversations that were going on about Odyssey at the time, and people were still this is let alone not only the best Mario game, but one of the best Nintendo games that are ever made. So, my thought process on it when I was let's pick a game that Will's going to hate, and including Mario Odyssey, it was a kind of the counterpoint to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, even though I'm sure it was going to be a much,
much
smaller, much better game.
Oh, thank God, smaller.
Thank God.
Crazy Odyssey.
If you had to beat Assassin's Creed Odyssey, we'd have to do this game in March as opposed to doing it now here in January. But dude, I'm so excited to have you again.
It's been so long since you've been in the chair with me. The boys are back.
Yeah, seriously. No, I'm really happy that, we're here and we're finally making it happen. So, let's go ahead and get into it. Yeah. What were your overall impressions of this game?
Yep. So the big thing was just the overall quality of not just the graphics, but the attention to detail when it comes to the platforming. Obviously, Mario, at the end of the day, no matter how big, how 3D, even how much story they try to add into it, still Mario story. So it's not the most dense thing you've ever seen. But the big thing about it is that at the end of the day, at the heart of Mario, it's about platforming. If the platforming is bad in a Mario game, it's not a Mario game.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're going to knock the platforming out of the way, out of the park, I should say. So, no, they got the classic Mario sprints. They added in some great things that the Wiimotes actually take advantage of. So things like you can have Mario crouch, but then if you shake the Wiimotes like a drums, like your drumsticks, or if you have it together in that kind of amalgamation of a singular controller like you gave me the skeleton for, you can just move it up and down, shake it on you're shaking popcorn or something. And then Mario will go from a crouching state to a rolling state. So that just makes him move a little bit faster throughout the world, which the worlds are a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So even, small things like that just make the overall platforming and makes the overall traversal throughout the different worlds a lot better.
Okay.
You have the classic triple jump that, if I'm not mistaken, was first seen in Super Mario 64, so that just makes it so if you time properly Mario's jumps, so he jumps in the air, when he hits the ground, if you hit A, the second he hits the ground, you'll do a slightly bigger jump for the second jump, and then if you do the third time, he'll do an even bigger jump, so it just gives you more air as you get the timing down correctly on those jumps. You got that in this one, works just as well, helps you work with your spacing and then work with your jumping to get to places that you normally might not be able to. But if you're not necessarily good at that timing, there's lots of other ways to do that. You have crouch jumps. So if you're crouching and your back is to a ledge that's a little bit higher than your normal jump, if you crouch, you look away, you jump at the same time that you push towards that edge, he'll do a somersault, which gives you a little bit more height. Lots of different things. This is something that's a little bit less likely used, I would say, but still cool when you get the chance to put it together, is a, I think it's a side jump is what they call it, but effectively what it is, if you're moving full speed in one direction, if you try to stop and then press back the opposite direction that you were going before with jump, he'll do like a kind of skidding side jump. So you'll jump back in that direction that you were aiming at, and it gives you a little bit more height and a little bit more distance as well. And I'm not even getting into Cappy, who is your, you know, companion during this game. That's probably the biggest new draw. Every Mario tries to give you something a little bit different. Obviously, Sunshine gave you Flood. I believe with Galaxy, I guess for Galaxy, it was really the gravity aspect and kind of walking around the worlds was maybe the draw there. But for Odyssey, it's definitely Cappy. And he is that living hat that you get to use and work with throughout the game. And he has a whole new host of platforming as well. So using him, you can attack blocks and grab items that are further away than normal. You can leave him out in space and then jump off of him like a kind of bouncing, like a trampoline. You can do great things. So one of the other items, or rather other moves that Mario can do, is a dive that gives him a little bit more, just horizontal distance. But if you throw out Cappy, for example, and he's floating in space and you're holding the button, then you dive at him, you can bounce off of him, give yourself even more horizontal distance to get like across a gap that you might not be able to. So putting together those different platforming moves really lets you open up the worlds in a different way. It's funny that you mentioned Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because while Assassin's Creed at this point is very kind of on rails, it gives me the feelings of like the original Assassin's Creed, or maybe Assassin's Creed Unity, where they try to give you a lot more options as far as moving around the different worlds. And yes, you can see the clear cookie cutter options, but if you put together your character's moveset and you think about what they can or maybe what they can't do, it really opens up the different pathways and avenues. And I feel like Mario Odyssey does that as well. So is a game, if someone asked me about it, 100% very easy to get into, very easy to learn, but there is a nice skill ceiling for people that want to do like speed runs or just optimal pathways when it comes to traversal.
That's really awesome. You know, I something about Cappy that I really appreciated is that, you know, a lot of these Mario games can get a little bit lonely because you're just running around as Mario and you're just faced with enemies and you just get through these obstacles. And I don't know if people like look at those games that way. Maybe I'm just some weird introvert and that's how I approach Mario.
Like, I want some friends.
I want some friends. And he seemed like a really good character. And he had like, I don't know if you agree with this statement, but the little bit of that I've played, he had a lot of personality.
Oh, he does.
Does he
sure.
continue to have personality throughout the game for whatever iterations of Cappy, how his transformations go?
Yep, 100%. Don't just think as Cappy as a hat that helps you. He's 100% a character in the story. He's okay. Not just Mario's sidekick. I mean, if you want to sit there and say because he's a hat that he couldn't be the main character, I'm like, maybe. But the way he acts and the way he moves throughout the game, if something happens and Mario got like knocked out, I think Cappy would be able to continue his adventure. He 100% talks to you. He tries to guide you through the story. He tries to point you in different directions on where to go and how to do things. And of course, he has the singular coolest use in the game, which is the fact that you get to possess other sentient creatures and make them do your bidding you decide that you're done with them and you can potentially kill them. So it becomes the darkest Mario of all time. But like the first time you do it, you know, it shows Cappy hitting an enemy and then Mario getting sucked into the enemy and just essentially becoming them with the little Mario cap on.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is kind of creepy. And then you realize that it attacks and kills most like little smaller Goombas and then other tiny objects and other tiny creatures. So it literally only possesses something that has rational thought or like sentient thought for the most part.
Okay.
Like, no, not necessarily rational, but just sentient, you know, an animal, an enemy that will move on its own will. Yeah, something that's self-aware, something that knows, you know, if you look in a mirror, it could tell that, look, that's potentially me. That's the only thing that Cappy can possess, allowing you to take over their body and then use their moves, use their overall abilities and their elements to get what you want. And then when you're done with it, you pop out of them. Half the time they sit there kind of dazed and then they just poof, disappear into thin air. So you're just
murderizing them. Just a psychopathic plumber on
Mario
a mission from
his
God.
True blue colors. But it's really cool though. I mean, it's a fantastic thing that you can do as far as, hey, there's this thing that's super, super high up. Mario's best jump can't get me there. Oh, there's a creature that will grow his legs super, super long and then fall back down. If I possess that creature, then I can grow my legs super, super long up to the sky. And then I can hop out of him as Mario, be to that ledge, and then continue on my merry way.
So okay.
Definitely opens up a lot of good stuff for you.
That's really cool. Would you say that the triple jump and like some of those more integral mechanics to, you know, moving Mario around and helping him traverse, are those like a necessity? Do you need to master those to get across some levels?
Nope. And that's the good thing is that you don't really need to master any of the major, or rather I would say the more advanced skills. But there are things that if you're looking, if you're that completionist, or if maybe you're just pushing yourself and you're trying to get a little bit better, you're trying to get that next power moon, there are certain power moons, there are certain places on the maps that require you to have better platforming than normal. But as far as just getting through the main story, getting most of the moons, you can just jump normally.
Okay.
Call it a day.
Got it. Cool. That's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get into all of the different kingdoms that you get to go through as we traverse through this game. I'm really curious as to like what you thought about it, because I only made it so far as the kingdom where it was like the one where everything is kind of like the... based on like the skulls or like the mariachi guys in the desert, the sand folks. And so I'm really curious, like do you have a favorite one off the top out of all the levels?
Out of all the levels, my favorite one's probably still Metro Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. Metro Kingdom's definitely my favorite one. Cool. So like you mentioned, I do get the nice little list of them. I want to go ahead and do them ranked as far as like my least favorite to my most favorite. So this is definitely not in the order that you see them. But once again, the ones that I had the worst time with to the ones that I had the best time with. So very first one, hated it. It was the worst. It was super boring. There was acid water everywhere, which I hated. And then there's some cool stretchy guys there. So this is the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just a kingdom that happens after you get into a boss fight. You get thrown down here. And it's one of those where you have to just get enough power moons to leave. But there's nothing really there other than story that necessitates you going there.
Got it. Okay.
It was that one. So the Cloud Kingdom is the next one. This one is a pretty cool looking area. It's literally just a big fluffy cloud. So it's cool looking, very boring, not a whole lot there. The main reason it's there is for a boss fight with Bowser. It's like your first boss fight with him.
Which okay.
Of course, you're going to fight Bowser in a Mario game.
Got
but
it.
Yeah, your very first time with him, you fight him there. The fight is cool. He has really good. And I'll say for him and everybody. So all the bosses, they're very classic Nintendo. You hit them three times. You got to do something special, and then that's the whole boss fight. So you do something special, you hit him once. You do something else special, maybe it's like a little bit pumped up, then you hit him the second time. You do something else special, hit him the third time, boss fight's over. So that's really the big deal.
So there's not like a lot of complexity. Did you ever find yourself being like really having to like think about how to approach certain boss fights in this?
No, there's not a whole lot of complexity.
Or is it like by the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly by the numbers because... I think at the end of the day, it's still a Mario game. It's still a Nintendo game, and they want to be inclusive to a lot of people. Like, you know, I feel like a 5-year-old can pick this game up and play through it and beat it and have a good time, especially with an assist mode that they have the option for, which makes things a little bit easier for you as well. But yeah, with the boss fights, they're not super complicated. They all have their different stages. And for example, one of the fights that you have with a rabbit character called a Brutal, he has like hats on. And if he gets close to you, he'll spin around and he'll do damage to you in an AOE, but of course it's depending on the size of his hat. So if he has 2 hats on, it's not that big. If he has 12 hats on, then it's super big.
Okay.
So he'll have like 2 hats, and then you knock his hats off with Cappy, and then you jump on his head. That's 1 strike. And then he pulls out 6 hats, and then he does the same thing, and you jump on his head, and then he pulls out 12 hats.
Yeah.
And then he does the same thing, and then you beat him. So that's the whole thing. So it's not super, super complex, but it's just the stages will kind of generally increase as you're doing damage to those bosses. But I never really got stuck on one. I think I died on 2 bosses overall.
Really?
But luckily, this is one of those more new age Marios. So it's not like you get hit and then you have to have a mushroom. Otherwise, you die. It's you get 3 chances.
You have like a health meter?
Yeah, you have that little health meter where it's like you get 3 hits. And if you get hit 3 times before getting more health, then you die.
Got it.
So it's not that bad. But yeah, the boss fight there was pretty cool. The next one is the dark side / darker side. And this is like the separate side of the moon that you unlock after you beat the main game and you've gotten a certain number of power moons.
Oh.
And this one's fine. It looks pretty cool.
It's pretty like low down for a post-game level.
Yeah, it's a little bit post because, I mean, there's, I think, like 500, if not maybe 600 or something, power moons scattered throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
And After you get to like 350, you unlock the dark side of the moon. I think 500, you unlock the darker side of the moon. And then you have to beat the game to unlock another one of my favorite kingdoms that I'll talk about later on. But yeah, that's like your post-game stuff. It's just going around, finishing up all the moons, getting as many of the power moons as possible, just to kind of flesh out your entire booklet.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Cool.
But thing with the dark side of the moon, darker side of the moon, the dark side of the moon is just like a brutal boss rush. So those brutal rabbits that I talked to you about earlier, there's, I think, at least four of them. And then there's a matriarch as well.
Got it.
And you have to fight all four of them back to back to back without getting hit, pretty much, just because you only have the three hits between fighting all four of them. So it makes it a little bit tough. I didn't get a chance to beat that yet. I think I did try it twice. And it was the classic thing where I'm going through and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is a boss rush. So I took it really careful the first time and I almost beat it, but then I lost it like the very last one. And okay. Then I tried it like two more times after that. And then I got beat up immediately. I was like, nope, I'm coming back later.
So okay.
I've not beaten that one yet, but it's just a boss rush area. It's not super expansive. The one after that's going to be the Cap Kingdom. That's the very first place you start at. That's where you land in the story, and you meet Cappy for the first time because your hat got jacked up, and then Cappy was like, oh, we gotta go save Peach and we gotta go save my sister Tiara.
It's kind of dark. It reminded me of Halloween Town.
Yeah, it's exactly what it looked like. Halloween Town from, well, I was about to say from Kingdom Hearts,
but Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, from Nightmare Before Christmas specifically. But no, it was really dark looking. Looks really cool. Everything's shaped like a hat, so you know the Odyssey ship that you have is shaped like a hat.
Yeah.
The houses there are shaped like hats. The lanterns are shaped like hats. The hats, surprisingly, are shaped like hats.
So surprisingly.
It's crazy.
I wonder if that means that we can confirm that Cappy is, in fact, a cryptid dark beast.
Be. Yeah,
and he's on a path to just ruin and decimate all of the organisms in the Mario universe.
It's funny, too. You mentioned that one of the things, I don't know if it's specifically to get power moons or if it's just these challenges that you can also do after the game, but people are walking around the different worlds. And you can find like other, you know, little cappies. You can find other hats.
Oh.
So you can walk behind some guy in Metro City, for example, who's just like, you know, pretty much, well, New Donk City, who's just like a little New York kind of analog. And it's like a normal guy walking around with a hat on his head. And if you follow him, eventually like the hat's eyes behind it will like open up and be like, are you looking at me?
What?
So yeah.
Yo.
It's a little
confirmed.
Spooky. Yeah, but Cap Kingdom is cool there. There's another brutal boss fight at the very beginning. That's the one where they introduce you to the Brutals themselves.
Okay.
After that, we got the Lake Kingdom. So this one is a little one of the earlier kingdoms, I should say, as well. It's a little bit more boring. It kind of introduces you to the water movement. So that's one of the reasons why I guess it's not super in-depth. But there is another brutal fight there at the end. But I mean, it's fine. It's just kind of a water world, you know. You've done one, you've done them all. Water temples, that's kind of how they roll.
Sure.
After that, when we have the Wooded Kingdom. So this one's going to have two different boss fights. There are the Brutals, and then there's also a Torkadrift, which is hilarious because going back and doing some research for this, at the very end of the game, you have the Mushroom Kingdom, and there you can do all of the boss fights through again by jumping through the paintings, kind of like how they look like in Mario 64.
Mario 64, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the coolest thing is I got to one of them and it was a boss fight. I was like, oh, cool, boss fight. I was like, I've never seen this boss fight before. I had to learn the mechanics there. I did it and did the fight. And I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. It's like a new boss that I'd never seen. This is wild. And then when I was looking up the bosses during the areas before, I was like, Wooded. I was like, I don't remember fighting anybody in the Wooded Kingdom. And then it started explaining the boss. And I was like, this is the boss that I fought post game. I never fought this boss in the main story.
Interesting.
Because the great thing about the main story is, which is probably another thing that makes it more accessible, is you, to progress the story, you only need to get a certain number of power moons in the world.
Okay.
And then you can leave and go to the next world. So you don't have to beat the bosses. If you get to an area that has a power moon and it's too difficult for you or you don't know how to reach it, you don't have to do that one. I would say each world has at least 20 or 30 plus power moons.
Okay.
Something like New Donk City has like 66 power moons. And really, you only need to get 18 from most worlds in order to go to the next world.
And I imagine that like probably at a certain point, it's non-linear, right? So if you go to one world and you get a certain number of power moons, there could be potentially like two or three new worlds available to you to go to?
So it does do that. There's at least two different places where you finish up a world, you go to the new world, and Cap, you'll be like, all right, cool, we have two choices. We can go to this one or we can go to that one. And you make your choice, you go to that one first. And then when you're done with that one, you just go to the one you didn't pick afterwards.
Nice.
But yeah, there's at least two different places where there's a proverbial fork in the road.
Okay.
Fork in the sky. And then you get to fly to whichever one you want to do first.
Okay, cool.
So did that one. Did not fight the boss because I completely skipped it because I was like, I'm done with the Wooded Kingdom. I'm not a fan. And then we made our way to Cascade Kingdom. So this one's pretty cool because this was, I think, the second world you technically go to after Cap Kingdom. And I don't know if you remember from when they first introduced Odyssey, but they showed off that at one point Mario could possess a giant T-Rex.
Yeah.
And this is like the first place you could do it.
Yeah.
So you get over to an area, there's just a T-Rex sleeping. For some reason,
just hanging out.
You're just asleep, hanging out. Yeah. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to ruin your day. And you throw your hat on top of his head and you become a giant, not even like cartoony looking. It's just a realistic looking Tyrannosaurus.
Like
Rex.
Straight just up like from Jurassic Park. You are
yes.
The T-Rex.
So what you do is you go over, you start stomping and breaking all the blocks. You attack the chain chomps.
Yeah.
Because there are a bunch of chain chomps in your way, so you can use the T-Rex to just attack them and get them out of the way. And if you, I believe it's using it for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, eventually you'll just automatically jump out of the T-Rex and then it passes out. And Cappy's like, oh, I couldn't hold it. It's too big. So it makes it so you can't just play as a T-Rex the whole time.
Got right? it. Yeah.
But it's still
that'd be
it's,
pretty
it's,
OP.
Right? Yeah, it's super broken if that was the case. But it was very fun. It's always great just running around. And this is another place. I think the Wooded Kingdom, when you jump off the edge, I'm like, oh, I was going to die. And then it actually takes you to like underground woods. And then there's also a T-Rex there that you can possess. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool being able to do that. So one of the more fun sides, but still in the middle as far as overall worlds, because the T-Rex was by far my favorite part. But there is the Mama Brutal, who I think is just called Broody or yeah, B-R-O-D-E. I'm sure they call her Broody, but yeah, she's just a big old brutal bunny lady, and she has a chain chomp pet. So with her, the chain chomp is coming out, and you got to throw Cappy, possess the chain chomp, and then you have to slam the chain chomp back into her.
Yeah,
you do that three times.
I beat her. Yep. I got as far as her, and I think that's where I like stopped after that.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool. I mean, it was a fun boss fight too.
Exactly.
I'll say like,
all the boss fights are very fun.
Yeah, they're super entertaining. All of the animations for the bosses are like energetic and just like have a lot of life to them. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is classic Mario in all of the ways that you would want from like a premier Mario title in that sense too. And this is also the same level where you get on the Cappy ship.
Yep.
Or what is the ship called? Does it have a different name? The Odyssey. Yeah.
The Odyssey.
So, and you get on the ship, and that's how you get from kingdom to kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I know at one point the ship breaks down, and that's how I landed in the desert kingdom.
Yep.
Like, do you are there like improvements that you can make to the Odyssey?
Is it just getting those stars,
and that's how you power it up, and that's how you get where you're going.
Every time you get to a new world, I don't know if they explain it as breaking down or if it's just you need more, you know, quote unquote gas.
Got
but
it.
It's like every time you get to a new world, they're like, you need this many power moons before you can leave and go to the next world.
Yeah,
and then you will occasionally get to places like with the Lost Kingdom where Odyssey does get broken and it's like, hey, you need to get a certain number of moons and then you can fix the ship and leave. So that happens at least twice during the game. But yeah, for the most part, as you get to a world, you need more gas. You go get the power moons, you bring it back, you throw the power moons into the Odyssey. It's like, cool, we got enough gas, let's go. And then you go to the next world.
Cool.
That's just how it's played.
Got it.
But yep, Cascade Kingdom was cool. Afterwards, talking about breaking down. So the next one is the Ruined Kingdom, and you land here because you get, I believe, shot again by Bowser and his ship, and then it knocks out the Odyssey, and then you fall down into this place that looks like it's called the Ruined Kingdom, but it looks like a Dark Souls.
Like, what? Area.
Like, it's nuts.
Are you
first
serious?
Stepped out, and I was like, I think I'm in the wrong game. It's like all dark skies, and you get like these kind of, I don't want to say Victorian, because I feel like this is more Bloodborne, but you know, just think of like the Dark Souls kind of medieval architecture,
okay,
all
yeah.
destroyed and messed up, and like I'm like, okay, that was kind of creepy. So then you're running around, you're like, cool, got to find the power stones. You make your way to a big open area, and you're like, okay, duh, boss fight. And what comes out except for a giant purple dragon that shoots lightning down at you, and he's called the Lord of Lightning.
Like, what? You were playing the wrong game.
This is the Dark Souls
boss. What the fuck?
I'm like, that's what amazing. Is was he hard? Was it?
No. Okay. Super straightforward. Easy. Okay. Very fun. You just dodge his lightning attacks, and then he gets tired and he takes a little snooze. So then you hop over to him. You use Cappy to pull the swords out of his face.
Okay. And then he has swords embedded in his face.
In his face. And they were holding down a like headdress that was on his head, and it's a weak point. So then you do a butt bounce on the weak point, and you do that 3 times.
Okay.
But it was really cool looking. It was nuts.
That's yeah, neat.
The little lightning was crazy.
Okay.
So that was very, very cool. It was just a boss fight area similar to the Cloud Kingdom, but a very cool boss fight area. After that one, we got the Sand Kingdom. So that's the place you were talking about with like the mariachi folks. When you first get there,
yeah,
it's like super cold and people are frozen. So you have to run around and try to, you know, get rid of the cold, bring the sun
they
back
kind
out.
Of look like shy guys, but they have like the little like the Mexican like inspired the skull faces, candy yeah. faces and yep. then obviously the little mariachi hats and
exactly.
you get those whack outfits for Mario. Yeah,
it's a good reminder to you. Yeah, every yeah. world you go to, they have the stores where you can buy those different outfits.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you're in the Sand Kingdom, you can get a what is it? I want to say it's like, oh God, what
it's
is
like
that thing called?
It's like a pink and yellow.
Like a poncho. You can get a poncho.
Is it a poncho? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you get a poncho like your Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead. And then the hat is a big old sombrero. So it's just cultural appropriation Mario just running around here. It's ridiculous looking.
Yeah, mine was a weird one. Mine was like pink and yellow. And it looked like he had like money. It was like maybe like a money sign on his hat or something. I can't remember.
So you bought the crazy cap hat. Yeah, there's
that
a
must have been what
ones,
it was.
Yeah.
So I probably just didn't have access to the poncho yet.
Yeah, because you have to get each world has their own currency, and then you have the overall coin currency that's everywhere.
Okay.
And each world currency is what you use to buy the world specific outfits, because they normally get you into rooms
yeah.
that also contain a power moon. So that's where you can get like the sombrero and the poncho from there. If you're in, for example, Metro Kingdom, we'll talk about later, the New Dog City, you can get a outfit where you look like a construction worker and it's like yellow and red or yellow and orange, and it kind of is a throwback to the old school Mario outfit
yeah.
way back in the day.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty cool. It's all the outfits I would say are very fun.
Yeah.
And then when you beat the game at the very end, you can get even cooler looking outfits, like one that turns you into Santa Claus, one that turns you into super, super old school, like 8-bit Mario.
Okay.
One that turns you into Mario 64, even all polygonal,
interesting.
Blocky
yeah.
Mario.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can get a couple of those using coins.
Yeah, pixelated cool down too. There. That's actually pretty neat. What was your favorite? Did you have an all-time favorite?
Oh, my favorite overall outfit? Well, there's a pretty dope one you can get. I think this is just a standard and not like world-specific, but you can get a pirate hat. An eye patch and
ooh.
Then a like pirate outfit, so you look like you do.
It's like a Commodore Mario.
Yeah, it's like
hell yeah.
What's his face? Johnny Depp looking.
Oh yeah, like Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
Looking outfit. Like it's wild looking.
Neat.
So it's really cool. So I think that was probably my favorite one. I wore that for a while back.
Okay.
And forth. And of course, it's the classic too. You put on the cool whatever outfits you want, and then the different cutscenes. Depict you in that outfit, so it doesn't just revert you back
to the plumber you, yeah overall
so it's like Bowser's talking trash to you and you're sitting there in a pirate outfit like I'm gonna beat your ass. So
that's awesome.
So we got that one. Oh, Sand Kingdoms, we talked about that one. You got the Brutal, and then every boss has a name. I started looking up the names afterwards, but when I got to this one, I just thought it was funny. He's Big Face and Hands. It's just a big okay. old, I don't think it's Mayan, Aztec-y. Maybe it's something in that similar vein. I know they're different, so don't come for me. But it's just like a big old head, like a big old blocky head, and
yeah.
he has hands, and the hands go to attack you. When the hands attack you and they get tired, you throw the hat on, you take control of the hands, and then you punch the big face in the face with his own hand.
Got it.
And you do that 3 times and
cool.
then you win. But
nice.
It's pretty fun. After that one, we have the Seaside Kingdom. So this one's another water-ish kingdom, but it's kind of like a beach sea kingdom. This is pretty fun. You get to swim around here. There is a big old fight with a giant octopus called Mollusk Lanceur. Mollusk Lanceur. Yeah, he pretty much just shoots explosives at you, and he also shoots these, what are they, like what? Shells, like spiky shells
oh.
that kind of like lances. I'm guessing maybe that's where the Lanceur came from.
Interesting, okay.
But very fun boss fight. You have to take control of a watery starfish that's inside a sphere of water, and they use that to fly, so you can go up And then you can also go horizontal, like you can go vertical and horizontal with those stream of water. And then once you touch water, you get your sphere of water back, which you use to go up and over. I mean, you just got to get above him and then shoot water down on top of him to do the damage.
But okay.
Very fun. Like I said, the nothing that's overly complicated, that was maybe the more complicated one because it did take me a couple seconds to be like, what am I supposed to do? I can't jump on top of his head. And it's like, oh, you possess a different creature, and then you got to fight him using that.
Yeah.
But it was very fun getting the chance to do all that. You knock him out with the water, and then you bring back peace to the beach.
Okay.
As Mario is in his, like, shorts. getting his gym tan laundry on. He's got some shades on and some shorts, right?
So Miami Vice Mario.
Yes, sir. So we got that one, and then afterwards we got Bowser's Kingdom. You know, you're fighting Bowser.
Okay.
You got to go to Bowser's Kingdom.
Was that a cool
one? That was a pretty fun one. You got to bring the fight to his front door.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Bowser's Kingdom is that it took a heavily Japanese-inspired look to it.
Mm.
So it's like you're running around there. The outfit that you actually use as Mario, or that you buy as Mario using the Bowser coins, the Bowser bucks, is a straight up samurai outfit.
Instead of samurai lord
armor.
Running
around looking like you.
That's Jin sick. Jin Sakai Mario. Ghost of awesome. Mario.
Yes, sir. Mario of Tsushima.
Exactly.
So that was really cool looking. But no, the overall castle that Bowser's castle is like a Japanese kind of feudal castle. It has the different kind of slanted shingles and everything.
Cool.
You have to work your way up fighting these different enemies. There's some like birds with the cool kind of rice paper hats. And then when you attack them, you get to possess them and they stick themselves into the walls and you like scale the walls using the little birds. So that was very fun. You fight the Brutals there again. And then after you fight at least two of them back to back, you get into a giant mecha Brutal fight. So they're inside a big robot and you kind of fight them all, you know, knocking each part of the robot off until only one of them remains. So
cool.
That was a really fun one too.
Nice.
Following that one, we got the Snow Kingdom. So the Snow Kingdom is great just because one, it was a really cool ice looking world. I feel like the ice world in Mario always like go off.
They hit.
Like, everyone remembers in 64 throwing the penguin off the edge. So it's like if there's an ice world in a Mario game, it's normally fire.
Yeah.
And this is definitely no different. So the Snow Kingdom is great. They get another brutal fight there. But the coolest thing about this place is the actual bounding race. So you get there. The Brutals are taking over. You have to protect the locals. And then once you protect the locals, they say, hey, we can get back to our racing. It's where we bounce ourselves around because we're like big seal people, big kind of like, not walrus, they look like seals. And they're big inflatable sphere seal people. And they bounce around and they race. And that's how they get their kicks in that world. And of course, Mario wants to take place, wants to join in because he's the main character. I get to do whatever I want to. And they're all looking around for the last racer. They're like, where's the last racer? We need him so we can start the race. Mario goes up to the last racer. And the guy's like, I'm so scared. I don't want to do this. I'm worried. I just don't want to get hurt or anything.
Aww.
And Mario's like, oh, don't worry, buddy. And he possesses him. And he makes him do it.
Jesus Christ.
He throws Cappy onto him.
This is like Pokemon levels of darkness.
Exactly. Mario's like, don't worry, I'll just throw my soul into your body and I'll make you do it against your will.
Mm.
And that's what happens.
Great. Love that.
And of course, Mario wins.
Love that.
So you can only imagine this guy waking up hours later with a trophy in his hands like, why am I covered in bruises? What happened?
Oh my God, Jesus.
They're like, you're a champion, man. You're the best racer we've ever
seen.
You did
so good.
No, it's just like the headcanon for me in this story is ridiculous. It's much better than the normal story.
Yeah.
So you got that. After the Snow Kingdom, there's the Luncheon Kingdom. So this one's pretty cool just because of how unique it is. So it is a place that's has a giant volcano in the back. And inside this volcano is where the luncheon people cook this stew. And the stew is what Bowser's looking to steal. Pretty much every world you're going to, Bowser is attempting to steal something.
He's exploiting resources.
100%.
Sure.
He's trying to facilitate.
He's a colonizer.
That's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing, though. He's going to these different worlds, and instead of being like, hey, I'm getting married to, you know, Peach, also against her will, how about you give me this thing for the wedding and I'll pay you this amount of dollars? He's like, no, I'm just going to go there. I'm going
to
take it.
I feel like he just needs to go through a consent workshop, right?
He needs to go through some therapy.
He needs to go to therapy.
Bowser has some demons he needs to work out.
He said, real turtles don't go to therapy.
I don't. I'm a Koopa Kang. I was a Kang. The worst. But up there, they're making a stew, and the stew is what he's going to steal for the wedding. But it's really, really cool. The Luncheon Kingdom, as it sounds, pretty much everybody there is food or some kind of food item. So like most of the main people you're talking to are forks, and they're sitting there talking to you, asking you to help make their stew, help protect the world. Some of them are just sticking into walls with their prongs, and you can possess them and then fling yourself up.
So okay.
It's pretty cool, like, to get on top of roofs like that.
That's neat.
Some of the other things are just like burning pieces of like fire. There are giant vegetables rolling around. So the Luncheon Kingdom is just this place with a big old volcano in the back that's just all about food. So it's very unique, very cool, very fun to move around. There are some really great traversal options where you can turn into those kind of fireball creatures,
yeah,
and then jump into a cannon and launch yourself across the map, saving you some time because some of the worlds, especially this one and Metro that we're going to talk about later, do get pretty big. So while there is a fast travel section of the map, whenever you come across a little flag, it opens you up a new fast travel spot.
Oh, okay, neat.
Yeah, if you don't want to actually just fast travel in the menu, then something like the launcher in Luncheon Kingdom is really cool. So from Luncheon Kingdom, there is a brutal fight, and there's also a cockatiel fight. So this is just a giant bird. You got to fight him in the volcano. The bird fight is also very cool, too, because you take possession of one of those fire creatures, which allow you to swim around in the super hot food.
In the lava?
Water. Yeah.
Okay.
And the cockatiel is effectively vomiting at you. He's spitting out pink goo.
Dope.
And you have to swim up the pink goo to get to him. That's, you know, he's floating around in midair. You swim up his vomit, and then you jump on top of his head.
That's
you do that three times.
Metal as fuck.
So it's nuts. The first time it's just a constant stream of spew. So you swim up it like normal, and then you jump on his head. The second time it's a kind of wavy, you know, like a twisty turvy goo. So you have to like kind of twist
it. You have to make sure that you're staying in the goo.
Exactly. Cause otherwise you'll fall down into the stew and then you just got to restart that section.
Okay.
So then you jump on his head, and the second time he's like, blah, 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 blah. He's like spitting chunks at you. So then you have to go with the little chunk, and then you jump to the next chunk, and then you jump to the next chunk, and then you jump to the next chunk. So very cool. A very unique world, very unique boss fight. I love the Luncheon Kingdom a lot. So it's definitely up there in the top five.
Cool.
The Moon Kingdom is also great. So this is the very last kingdom you get to in the main story. So this is the one to, you know, where you're fighting Bowser. Obviously, you get into the Mario fight and you're going to fight Bowser, rather Mario game. You're going to fight Bowser at the very end. So with the Moon Kingdom, start off really cool. You're literally on the moon. So when you first start jumping around, you're like jumping super high and you're getting these cool drifts back and forth.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that ends kind of quickly because once you get inside the area where you're trying to stop Bowser, it gets back to normal weight and normal gravity. So it's kind of a lost thing. I feel like you could have had more fun bouncing up and down abnormally. But luckily, the rest of that area is great. So it's kind of a platforming rush instead of a boss rush. So you're going through and doing all your different platforming moves that you've done in the game up to that point. You do get to see the football enemies from Super Mario World. So this brought Odyssey from a 9 to a 10 for me because those are my favorite Mario enemies. And
okay.
Then you get them at the very end. And I was like, fantastic.
Perfection.
Sensational. They did a great job. And of course, you get to that actual Bowser boss fight, which is fantastic.
And this is the final fight with Bowser.
Yep. So this is the last fight with Bowser. It's similar to the one you did the first time, but it's just a little bit more intense. And I will say it is a pretty intense fight. I think I died like three times here. So this is a pretty good final boss fight.
This is an alpha gamer right here. So that's saying something.
It was nuts. Yeah. It was nuts. The coolest thing is that you get Bowser's hat. He throws it at you. You knock his hat over. You pick his hat up. His hat has two big old boxing gloves on it.
Oh,
so then you run over.
Is this
to Bowser.
The Bowser when he's dressed up in the white suit?
Well, I think so. Yeah, okay. I think he is also because this is the actual wedding.
Did he
wedding.
Steal a cap, like a hat from Cappy Kingdom?
I think it's his own. I don't think it's his own.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think it's
one
that he stole because it doesn't have like eyes or anything. It's not sentient.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a Cappy.
It's just like an Inspector Gadget hat that has a bunch of tricks in it.
Got it.
It's literally two boxing gloves pop out and you get to run up to him and you punch him with the boxing gloves and he's like sitting there trying to block your attacks. And it's funny, it's like a little combos, like you're sitting there beating the crap out of him, and then he goes to tail swipe you, and he telegraphs it heavy, so you jump over it.
Yeah.
And of course, the more you attack him, the more swipes he gets. So he'll do like one swipe, then I'll do two swipes, then I'll do three swipes. But you jump over it, and then when you jump over it, it throws him off balance. So then you beat the crap out of him again, and you knock him out, and then he starts jumping around, causing shockwaves that you have to jump over. Like, it gets a little spicy.
Okay.
It's a little crazy, so that's why I died a few times. But eventually, you beat Bowser. You're thinking, okay, cool, it's over. But then, nope, the whole place is breaking down and you have to escape. So this is where you get, for me, probably the best song in the game. I think anyone who knows anything about Odyssey has heard Jump Up Superstar and they're like, wow, that song is incredible. There's no way they got so it better. Good. Nope, they did do better. I think it's called Honeyloo Escape.
Yeah.
So yeah, that song is incredible. It's like a nice little kind of rock ballad there towards the end. Yeah, it's Honeyloon Ridge Escape.
Honeyloon Ridge Escape.
Awesome. Fantastic. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. You should probably play the game and get to the end and listen to it, because in the actual part that you're doing it on, which I'm going to say a spoiler. So while I've been talking a little bit about the story anyways, it's not been heavily a spoiler because it's Mario doesn't really have a story like that.
Yeah.
But I'm about to say a spoiler now. So 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay. So after the very last Bowser fight, you beat Bowser and you're like, oh no, things are breaking down. Me and Peach are here, and then a knocked out Bowser. How are we going to get out of here? Time to possess Bowser.
Fuck, what? So
you throw Cappy at Bowser, and then Mario becomes Bowser, and you spend the last part of the game as Bowser shooting fire and breaking blocks and like running down to the coolest song in the game. It's hype.
That's actually hype as fuck.
The hype levels went through the roof.
Gosh.
It was incredible.
That's so cool.
It was
cool.
Incredible. So
how do we get out of here? I have to become my worst enemy.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
So then that gets to the part where you were talking to me about earlier, which I think you said like your friend said was a great part of the ending story. But yeah, so obviously, you know, Mario and Bowser, they've been fighting over Peach back and forth. And at the very end, they all escape. Bowser wakes up after being possessed by Mario, and they're looking to like, you know, continue to scrap over Peach. And Peach is like, forget both of y'all. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Yeah.
And it's neat because afterwards, when you're exploring the worlds in the post game, you can actually see Peach in random places and she'll give you like a power moon. Like, she'll be, oh, me and Tiara are out here at Seaside Kingdom. We're hanging out on the beach. Here, have a power moon. I was like, oh, we're in the Snow Kingdom. This place is super cool. Ha ha. Get it? Have a power moon. So it's actually neat seeing, you know, Princess Peach be able to go out in a place on her own, exploring around, you know, just kind of getting out and doing stuff and not having to get worried about being kidnapped for a while. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool there too.
Okay.
But no, the ending to Moon Kingdom, nuts. Ending to the game, ridiculous. Fantastic. I loved it. So there we have the Mushroom Kingdom. So I did talk about the Mushroom Kingdom a little bit, but what the Mushroom Kingdom is, it's really a recreation of the kind of opening area where that princess castle, the Peach's castle place from Mario 64.
Yeah.
And you get to run around it as like a little world.
Oh, so that's
it
cool.
Is very cool. It is very, very cool.
But it's not like a one-for-one of like that first level.
No. It's not an exact one-for-one. Like the castle is obviously much smaller instead of having to run around and get all of the different paintings and everything.
Sure.
You just walk in and you're like, oh, cool. This is kind of small. Princess Peach isn't here because she's out exploring. And then you can leave out. But there's the area around it. So there's like a Goomba forest and you fight some Goombas in there. There's all of the different paintings scattered around that have the boss fights in there. So you can do all of the old boss fights from the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But no, it's very cool. This is where they have the store where they have all of the post-game outfits as well. So very, very cool place. Highly recommend the Mushroom Kingdom. It's awesome. And then finally, last but not least, because this place has like 16 worlds. So it's not a super short game.
Okay.
Like it gives you a pretty good amount of meat in it. But the Metro Kingdom is by far the best place in the game. It is huge. And not only is it just huge, it's not like huge and empty. It is dense. It is
just packed full of stuff you can do.
Yeah, it's a little analog for New York City. So they got the skyscrapers. You know, they have all these different buildings. You can go into quite a few buildings that are in the game and they're just different like levels and worlds. They're not like GTA. You're going into actual buildings or anything.
Okay.
Cool. But you can, you know, go onto the skyscrapers, you can go onto the top of certain skyscrapers, you can run around. It really helps put some of your platforming to the test because you can jump from different roofs and you can swing and glide and dive and hop across different areas. 66 moons to get in there. So it's nuts. There's a super, super dense amount of stuff for you to actually do in New Donk City. Not to mention, it has that great song I mentioned, Jump Up Superstar, that you do at the very end of the level when you are doing the festival. And the festival is really just a kind of nod to the overall history of Mario,
really?
Of Pauline, who is the mayor of New Donk City.
Yeah.
You know, the female character that you save from Donkey Kong during the original Donkey Kong games. And then at the very end of the festival, while they're singing Jump Up Superstar in the background, you actually get to like fight Donkey Kong. So it's pretty cool. It's just really a...
Wait, Donkey Kong's in this?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a one-to-one. It's not like a cool Smash Brothers version of him. It's really a kind of like mini version of the first level of Donkey Kong.
Huh. Okay.
So
got it.
Like you're running around, you're jumping over the barrels, and then you get up to Donkey Kong, and then you know, hit him from under.
But it's like a 3D version.
Oh, but no, but it's 2D. It's flat.
It's 2D. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you say that earlier?
Yeah, no, I don't remember if I said it exactly, okay, but with the festival, yeah, there are certain places in the game, and then the festival itself is. You go into a tunnel, you go into a little, you know, what are the warp tunnels?
Yeah, yeah. I forget what they're called. Yeah, there's like the green tunnels exactly, that you go into.
Go into those. And sometimes they'll turn you like 2D. So like you're running along this like the face of a wall.
Okay.
And you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And this is one of those. So you jump into the tunnel as 3D Mario and you go in there, you're 2D Mario.
Okay.
And then you go through a couple of different, these 2D levels, and it ends with you doing like a 2D fight that kind of recreates that initial Mario and Donkey Kong meeting.
So yeah.
It was really cool.
Okay. Neat.
But love the song. Love that world. The Mecha Wiggler boss that you fight at the very beginning of Metro City, or Metro Kingdom rather, is okay. But it's also kind of cool that you go there and it's all dark and rainy and like kind of gritty looking. Like it looks like an old school, like really New York GTA style game.
Interesting.
GTA 3, like especially the more recent one where the rain makes it look all jacked up. This is kind of what it looks like.
Okay.
And then once you beat the Mecha Wiggler boss, who's just a big robotic centipede thing, after that, the sun comes out, and that's when you get the new Donk City that you probably see in all the commercials where he's running around doing all the fun stuff. But has a lot of cool things. You can do double dutch in the park as Mario.
That's awesome. You
can possess a guy and use an RC car. So
just, yeah.
Lots of different
he's
stuff.
Just out here possessing people left and right.
He does not
No
care
morals or ethics.
At all. This guy's like, oh, my kids are so good at RC car stuff. I don't know how good they are at it. And it's like, oh, I can show you how good they are at it. Takes over the man's body.
Okay.
But it's neat. So yeah, Mecha Wiggler, a best boss of best dense world, I should say. The brutal fight there is fine. And then you get the technically fight Donkey Kong. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, Super Mario Odyssey is probably my favorite Mario game of all time. Something finally eclipsed Super Mario World,
which
I felt like was untouchable. That game was incredible.
Yeah.
But
what was Super Mario World on?
The Super NES.
Super NES.
Yep.
Okay. SNES.
So it was fun. Not to mention, they even got my boy Yoshi in Odyssey.
They got him in there?
They got him.
Like
and
a 3D
you
version?
You possess him, yes.
You possess Yoshi.
You become Yoshi.
You kill Yoshi.
No,
you kill
no,
Bowser.
No,
you kill
no.
Yoshi.
Would never. That's great. You get to run around the Mushroom Kingdom and eat the apples. So it's cool.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very fun.
That's really cute. Well, I guess, Will, I think that we can say that us and all of the Patreon and Twitter supporters of the show, we failed in making you hate this game.
I did not hate it. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it's
so we picked out a really good game. And I mean, everybody knows it's Mario Odyssey. Like, how could you not like it?
Imagine if I was garbage.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who thinks Mario games are bad.
100%.
Just not us, you know, gamers with really good taste. You know what I mean? but yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some more hands on it personally so I can play through it. How long would you say your playthrough was? How many hours?
It had to be
around 20, 25?
Yeah, I'm thinking 20, 22, 23.
Okay.
I had some pretty long stints where I think it's maybe two or three Saturdays sometimes I would like hop on, play for like 6 hours or so. But y'all got to keep in mind, I think I ended up with like 320 stars or something out of like the 500 or 600 that there are. So
it's a good amount.
Yeah, I didn't really just go from world to world to world trying to golden path it. Like in New Donk City, for example, there's 60 something stars. I think I got like 40 of them. So I tried to go through for most of the worlds and just get as many stars as possible because I'm sick like that. And I was like, oh, neat. There's something to get.
He has
check it off the
illness.
Box. Check it off the box.
Yeah.
Check it off the box.
I get you though.
But no, I had a good time hunting them down. So I think my play time was a little bit longer just because I did go out of the way and get some of the extra stars and the extra power moons. But ultimately, yeah, I would say they took me about 20 and some change to go ahead and beat the whole thing.
Last question before we close out. If there is any supporter or listener out there who has Super Mario Odyssey on their backlog and it's just sat on their backlog, is there anything you can say that you haven't already said that would make them want to like prioritize this game?
I will come to your house and sit you down in front of your television and watch you play this game.
Hey, yo!
That's what I'm saying.
This is what we call the Time Lord Gamer Supreme benefits of our Patreon supporters.
I will personally
go to your house and make you play this game. He liked it that much.
Knock on your door and be like, do you have time for our Lord and Savior, Mario? But to actually get someone to play it, I would just say this is a 100% feel-good type of game. If you're stressed, if you're tired, if you're burnt out on games, this is something that you can pop on. I can almost promise you, between some of the humor and the fun, just the polish that this game has, the amount of joy that I personally felt playing this game, I think it's one that I could easily recommend to anybody, whether you're 3 or 300, and I think you're going to get some fun out of it. Like this, even if you're not heavy on platforming, you know, there's an assist mode. They try to make things as good as possible. They have a photo mode in this game.
Oh, really?
Doesn't Nintendo have a photo mode? I don't know, but
the photos look pretty good. He messed around with it a little bit. Like, photos, you're going to have to send me some of those pictures, my boy.
Yeah, getting photos off of the Switch is very weird. It's not that it's bad, but it is very weird. You have to
go on and download a QR code and upload it to a Wi-Fi,
and it does like its own personal Wi-Fi for you to pull them from. It's very strange. That being said, it works, and I mean, pictures don't look that bad.
Yeah,
so it's pretty good. I used one of the pictures on our Christmas.
Where he's in the Christmas hat, the Santa hat. I was wondering where that came from. I wonder if you like got that off the internet or if
that is a Will original photo.
He's gonna become a virtual photographer, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get like Nate, trying to get like Nasty Nate, the
the homie. Well, folks, I think we're gonna go ahead and call it there. Will, thank you so much for being here with me tonight. I missed you so much, man.
It's been a blast.
And thank you for, you know, playing Mario and getting it through. You know, now you get to pick out my game, so you can do that next time. I'll give you the login to Patreon, and I'll just let you do it. Don't even tell me. I'll just be surprised one day. I'll just log in and see the post there. So just, you know, yeah.
He's like, what do you mean I gotta play Parasite Eve?
I don't even know how to do that. But yeah, folks, again, thank you for making it through with us on this special episode of Did You Hate It? Mario Odyssey apparently was a flop on our account, but it's a banger in reality. Yes. Will loved this game. So we're going to go ahead and call it there. If you want to support us further, please check us out at patreon.com/FridayNightGamecast or leave us a rating review on your podcasting platform of choice. And with that, I want to say be safe, take it easy, and we'll see you next Friday night.
Deuces.